Hi everybody, you're listening to The Rope Podcast with Vox and Maya. Thanks for supporting the show.
This is a show with adult content, so if you are not of legal age where you live, then turn off now.
Rope bondage is a risky activity, and you shouldn't attempt it without first getting proper training. Listen to episode 0 if you haven't already.
Fox is a rigger and Maya is a bottom. We are long-term rope partners who live in Bangkok, Thailand. We love to share our passion for rope with the wider community.
This episode is made possible by our patrons who support us each month. If you would like to help, head to ropepodcast.com to see many options.
This year, we want to focus on bringing the Rope Podcast to a wider audience. To achieve that, we would like to ask you to follow us on Instagram and reshare this episode in your Instagram stories. We are Rope Podcast on Instagram.
Another thing that helps us is if you give us a star rating on Apple Podcasts. It's anonymous, so you won't have your name visible on the internet connected with a kinky podcast, don't worry. And now going on with the show. Anastasia from Voodoo Ropes is an international shibari artist. Her 8 years' experience in the field includes teaching, exhibitions, events, and performances in several countries. Anastasia attracts people who want to feel rope as an art form, and she uses rope as a tool to communicate without words. Voodoo Ropes has held 3 sold-out shibari retreats in Mexico, with clients flying in from the US and Europe. She is also growing a beautiful, open-minded community in Playa del Carmen, holding classes and events on a weekly basis.
Hello, Anastasia, and welcome to the Rope Podcast.
Hello, thank you. I'm happy to be with you today.
And we're so happy to have you. Anastasia, how did you discover rope bondage in the first place?
Well, in the first place, I think it was through actually some adult videos, but then I saw it and it just passed, you know. I didn't really search for it anymore. I was like, oh, this is interesting. But it didn't really get my attention that much at that point. But then at the university, because I studied everything about Japan, and on the history class, we had a scroll with some tied up people. And I was like, oh, this looks really intricate and very, very interesting. And I have no idea why are they tied up so in such a pretty way. And I asked my teacher, like, what's that? Can you tell me more? And he's like, I don't think that I can tell you more right now, but I will send you an email. Wow. So yeah, my history teacher in the university sent me an email with the dissertation about shibari. It was dissertation of people asked me, what did I read? And that was Hedwig, Sense and Shibari. A dissertation that was just exploring shibari, exploring psychological aspects of it. And I read that. I was absolutely blown away by how rope can affect people. And yeah, then also there was in that whole email pack, there was a book of Araki Nobuyoshi. And I was like, whoa, that looks so arty. And all of this together, the looks of it and the meaning, the psychological parts, I was very, very impressed. And I started to explore on my own. So yeah, that was it.
So what was your next step after discovering all that information?
Oh, my next step was, I'd say the wrongest thing I've ever did was Google shibari, look at pictures and trying to replicate it. Mm-hmm. That was a terrible mistake, but I didn't have access to classes. I couldn't find anything decent on the internet back then. It wasn't even like that long ago, maybe about 10 years ago. So, but there was way less stuff.
Yes.
But I found some things that were very helpful, and I started tying a little bit, just like for myself, from the interest, you know, and finding some of my friends that were into it, that we could do it together, experiment a little bit. But my first 2 years of tying were probably, for the pictures was okay, but for the technique was pretty bad.
So how did you take it to the next level? When and how did you start taking proper classes?
I went to Japan. That was my master's. I had to do 1 year in Japan. And there, I actually had an opportunity to get a little bit more serious. And I started studying from the DVDs of Hajime Kinoko. This was pretty easy to get there, and yeah, easier than going to Tokyo for the classes, of course. I lived in Kyoto, so for me, in my student years, a trip to Tokyo from Kyoto was quite a big thing. So I was doing it through the DVDs for about a year and practicing on my friends. And they were giving me really nice feedback. So it was really, really encouraging. And when I started traveling after that, I started taking classes with people. I tried to take it in every country where I go so I can connect with riggers all over the world and learn more.
And how would you describe your rigging style now?
I'd say that now my tying is about love, communication, and empowerment. So when I tie, I try to remind people of their beauty and uniqueness. It's like also I do different things. I do rope sessions and I do rope photo sessions. And those are quite a different format because the photo sessions, we need the aesthetics. For the sessions, we don't care about the aesthetics at all. But for the rope session, my tying is very flowing with rope and I'm trying to synchronize with the breath of my models so we can connect as much as possible. And I'd say that this probably sounds very cheesy, but I'm trying to stop the time for them so they really enjoy the moment and stay present as you can. And of course, that flows into the photo sessions too. But on the photo sessions, I spend way more time on creating the picture itself because every photo tells the story. And to tell the story, we need a lot of things prepared there to look right. My models are the center of the universe in the time of the session, and hopefully after it they feel like that too.
that's beautiful. What kind of people come see you for sessions?
My audience is mostly people who are into, I'd say, yoga, breath work. Like recently this was the audience, and people who dance Zouk. This is very specific, but like last 2 years, that has been my audience. And I also get a lot of couples who want to connect deeper and try to do something new in the relationship. I think that they come not to like increase the pace, but to actually slow down. I feel it, and I'm very flattered that I'm able to help them find something new and experiment, you know.
That's great. What kind of format do you have for your sessions in terms of duration, in terms of how the session goes? Can you describe that for us?
Yeah, so depending on, of course, just session or photo session, the only difference is the how long we tie and how long we take pictures. Mm-hmm. For the rope session, there's no pictures, but always the person comes in for both. They come in, we communicate a lot. We communicate for about half an hour. Sometimes it's about an hour, but it depends on how much they want to share and how prepared they are. Sometimes I have people who come in and they just tell me in 5 minutes, I want to feel held. I want my leg tied to my head or something like that. And yeah, we can do that. So we do that. And then we just communicate in the process. But with others, they want to tell me everything. So we talk about everything because I think communication is key always. So I listen first, do stuff.
So it sounds like communication is one of your values in rope. What are your other values in rope? What's important to you?
Yeah, so communication, respect, and care. Those are my main values in rope. It's not only that the model needs to feel safe and comfortable. I feel like I need to feel safe and comfortable too. That works for both sides. Always, I tell my models to speak to me. And whatever happens, if they feel even a slight inconvenience, they need to tell me about it because I don't always can read their facial expression. And to me, it's necessary. Being present is also something that I love in the rope. Mm-hmm. And I think that in the recent years, I've been valuing the community a lot. Community and the opportunities to learn. Because it's growing more and more, and there's so many styles that There's just a lot to choose from, and there's always so much more to learn. And yeah, I love that.
That's really nice. Anastasia, you're very active on Instagram. How has this platform worked out for you so far?
Oof, yeah. Instagram is, I'd say, it's a magical tool. And also, it's the worst disappointment ever if you are trying to grow even a slightly sexy Instagram account. Yeah. If you don't have a million followers yet, then this is pretty much a disappointment. But I have been working with social media for about 6 years. And since my content is not extreme, and I figured out that as long as I don't post a lot of obvious suspension or something where people look like they're struggling, any blindfolds, any gags, so like nothing that can even slightly say BDSM, then it can go, you know? Then they can maybe show my post to somebody. But yeah, I feel like my content is, I'm trying to do it mostly aesthetically pleasing, so it's more mainstream. Mm-hmm. And I show simple ties, so decorative ties, post something educational, basic topics, or meditation with ropes. So it kind of like intertwines with other practices. And this is why I don't also get a lot of weirdos in my DMs, you know, mm-hmm. which is, of course, it's funny when I do get those, but usually people really engage, and Instagram has been a great place to grow and to get inspiration from, because people share their stories after I post some of mine, and I love it. I love that they feel so safe to share a story with me. And even if it's not for me to post, you know, it doesn't matter. It is very valuable that they are ready to open up to a stranger, pretty much.
Yeah.
Has it given you an opportunity to build your audience in person? Like, do those people come to you? Are you able to, I guess, sell your services through that? It's quite interesting using Instagram.
Yes, Instagram actually is where I get most of my clients from. So at first, I was only trying to find models, you know, because Shibari wasn't my work. It was just for me to express myself and to try to do something new. It's like I really loved it and I wanted to do it more and more. And I was just looking for models. And when it grew, so I posted more and more photos, people liked it, they shared it, and it was easy for me to find models. But then I got deeper into Shibari, deeper into the communication and self-love, all this feeling that rope gives you. And I started sharing about that. And then people, I guess, really clicked with that too. And now I can post about the events in Mexico and people come here to be a part of those events. I had 3 retreats here, 5-day long retreats with Shibari, Tantra, and yoga. And we combine those with some traditional Mexican practices like Temazcal and cacao ceremonies. And yeah, so we had about 40 people come here for all those retreats. Yeah,
so it's like a rope holiday in Mexico, like a whole package.
Exactly, yes. And we provide everything, and they get, of course, to learn rope, but also they get to learn about Mexico, to eat real Mexican food, to see the nature, live in the jungle, you know, all those things. See some tarantulas occasionally, but yeah, the jungle comes with those.
Yeah, Maya wouldn't like the tarantulas. Anastasia, you seem to really like ambitious artistic rope photo shoots. If you could have unlimited budget, unlimited access to any location, what would be the photo shoot of your dreams?
Oof. Yeah, so I did, this question made me think really deep, because everything that I could think of was depending on how much money it costs and how corrupt the government of the country is.
Of course.
But I found out some that are mostly impossible, I think, just because of the safety. And my number one is a photo session in Cappadocia, you know, with those hot air balloons. And because now I have photo sessions on 3 elements. My element that is missing is air. because I can't find a proper spot. So that would have been a perfect spot. So imagine somebody hanging from a hot air balloon in the sunrise in Cappadocia in a very long, beautiful dress with ropes falling off like this, like all over the place. And all of that goes into the camera to you. And that would be like, whoa, yeah, that's probably my dream photo session that I can probably create for myself with the AI.
That sounds so gorgeous.
That's amazing. So I saw on your Instagram the other day that you have quite a lot of actual rope. So what is your favorite type of rope to tie with and why?
So I've been trying to get as many types of ropes as I can so I can touch them and share all this with my students, because they need to touch and, you know, choose what's better for them. But for me, I love jute. But also I found out that there's so many different types of jute. So like if I get jute from Mexico, it makes my skin a little bit itchy. If I get jute from China, it's very, very rough. But then the Japanese ones are always softer. And I would love to know exactly why this happens, but I don't know. But the Japanese jute is as far my number one. And I also recently discovered posh rope.
Yes.
It's a synthetic rope. It's pretty much like, looks like jute, but it's completely synthetic. It's way stronger than jute. And I love the sensations of that one too. Yeah. So these are my favorites, posh and jute.
Okay. So Anastasia, we've talked quite a bit about your work with rope, but what about the place of rope in your personal life? Do you also do rope for yourself? And what does that look like?
Yeah, so I do rope with myself because I do a lot of self-tying and I teach a lot of self-tying and rope meditation. And I do it not just because, you know, I decided that, oh, I'm going to teach that. No, because I practice that just with myself to relax, to ground myself down and to just have those moments. This is how I mostly practice the rope. I just sit down in a dark room with maybe a candle, so this very, very dim light, and I try to feel the rope on my body. I don't care how it looks. I just care how it feels and how it makes me like breathe, how I can lower my breath or I can keep my breath a little bit higher. So this is really one of my favorite things to do with rope. Also, I do some couple check-ins with my husband using rope, actually, sometimes. We just take some rope, we touch the body with the ropes and see how that feels, see what emotions come up, because sometimes things can come up that you didn't really think about before. And with rope, a lot of things can get released. Yeah, and my husband is like the most difficult rope model because I always say like if I can make my husband make a noise during a rope session, then I'm a rope master. But yeah, it happens very rarely, to tell you the truth.
And he ties you as well in that check-in? Like, is it both tying each other?
Sometimes he does, but usually I tie him.
And you consider yourself, I think, a rope artist rather than a rope master. So what do you see as the difference between the type of rope that you're currently practicing and more BDSM or kink rope?
I think that I don't practice a rope in the sexual context at all. So this is what differs me the most, I think, in my style. Because, for example, if somebody comes to me and asks me to teach them how to use the rope in bed, of course I can give simple tips, but I can't really teach it, so I would refer them to somebody else. So this is what I am not comfortable in teaching because I don't do it, right? Mm. And I think this is the most, obvious thing that is the difference.
Of course. Anastasia, for our listeners today who would like to learn more about you and follow your work, where can they find you on the internet?
Oh, yes. So they can Google Voodoo Ropes, and my website is voodooropes.com. This is, so I'm pretty easy to find. My handle is the same, and it has been like that for years, trying to keep it consistent.
Okay. Is there any special event or any special class that they would be about to join soon?
Yeah, so I hold free webinars where everybody can learn how to start your rope journey and what mistakes to avoid. So this happens every 2 or 3 weeks. So we will leave the link below so everybody can join the webinars. And that is hopefully helpful for people to get inspired and start doing rope.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for talking to us today, Anastasia.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for listening.
And have fun tying.